And also Philippians chapter 4 قراءتنا كانت من فيليبي إصحاح 3 وأيضا فيليبي إصحاح 4. In the Bible, we have many teachings, we have many things that we call doctrine. أشياء ممكن نسميها تعاليم. And what you see over and over again in the Bible is after a presentation of certain doctrinal truths, you have practical consequences which should follow.
بعد ما الكتاب بيقدم تعليم معين كثير من الأوقات بيصير في شو؟ بيصير في مقطع يتبع مباشرة بيخبر عن النتائج العملية اللي مفروض إنه تكون موجودة نتيجة لهذا التعليم.
Many times in the Bible you will see the word therefore, إذن. The word therefore, linking something that was presented earlier, often doctrinal, to what is presented afterwards, which is frequently practical. Look at our chapter, look at some of the things, I should say our passage, some of the things that are mentioned. Philippians chapter 3 and verse 10, that I might know him and the power of his resurrection and the fellowship of his sufferings. The Lord Jesus rose from the dead. Now keep in mind that the Lord Jesus told the disciples that the leaders of the people would deliver him to the Romans and that he would be crucified and that he would rise again the third day. So one of the important things to keep in mind regarding the resurrection of the Lord Jesus Christ is that it was a fulfillment of prophecy, his own prophecies. Now also the prophecies of the Old Testament. In particular, where it says, "You will not suffer your Holy One to see corruption." لن تدع قدوسك أن يرى فسادا. The resurrection of the Lord Jesus Christ speaks to us of His power. Remember how He said in John chapter 10, "No man takes my life from me." ما في حدا بياخد حياتي مني. أنا أضعها. I lay it down of myself. What did He then say? I have power to lay it down, and I have power to take it up again. فإذن المسيح صاحب كل قوة. Remember that when the Lord Jesus Christ rose from the dead, he appeared to his disciples over a period of 40 days, and then he ascended into heaven. Now, what does the Bible tell us about his ascension? About his leaving his children in this world. I go to prepare a place for you. أذهب لأعد لكم مكانا. لأعد لكم مكانا. And the Lord Jesus also promised things concerning the future related to what? The body of the believer. Because I live, ye shall live also. In our passage, look at verses 20 and 21, speaking of the second coming of the Lord Jesus and speaking of the raising up of the believer's body. For our citizenship is in heaven, from which also we look for the Savior, the Lord Jesus Christ, who shall change our lowly body, that it may be fashioned like his glorious body, according to the working by which he is able to subdue all things unto himself. This is part of what the Bible teaches. The Lord Jesus is coming again, and we should look for this second coming. And the Lord Jesus is going to raise up the bodies of believers, those who have died in the faith. This is clearly what the Bible teaches. Now, after we consider these things, look with me at Philippians chapter 4 and verse 1. And notice the word, therefore. Therefore, my brethren, beloved, and longed for, my joy and crown, So stand fast in the Lord, my dearly beloved. These things that we've been speaking of, the death of the Lord Jesus and his resurrection, the fact that he has ascended into heaven and has promised to come again, the fact that believers will be raised up, all of these things lead to the conclusion, the practical conclusion, which is mentioned in chapter 4 and verse 1. Stand fast in the Lord. He is coming again. This encourages us. This strengthens us. This reminds us that we will be called into account. It reminds us that every good deed that the believer does will be rewarded. Stand fast in the Lord. What does it say at the beginning of Philippians? Philippians chapter 1, and let's read from verse 3 to verse 6. The Bible says, I thank my God upon every remembrance of you, always in every prayer of mine for you all, making requests with joy for your fellowship in the gospel from the first day until now, being confident of this very thing, that he who has begun a good work in you will perform it until the day of Jesus Christ. God will continue his work until the time of his coming. Philippians chapter 2 and verse 16, Philippians 16, holding forth the word of life, that I may rejoice in the day of Christ, that I have not run in vain, neither labored in vain. The fact that Christ is coming again is an encouragement to Paul the Apostle, because as he thinks of that coming, he thinks of a reward that he will receive, and he thinks that that reward will be something very special, and it will mean that his work has not been meaningless, that his work has not been without value, without worth. So God is working continually. And that is very true, and that is very important, and that is very encouraging. Now, the human side is what? That we need to stand fast in the Lord. Our responsibility as God's children is to stand fast in the Lord, in his truth, in his will, in his way. Look with me at the letter of Jude. The letter of Jude, Risalat Yahuwada, and look at verse 21, and then look at verse 24, and see how there are some things that have to do with us and with our responsibility, the human side of things, and there are some things that have to do with God's side, God's responsibility, and his role, his part. Jude and verse 21 says, keep yourselves in the love of God. Keep yourselves in the love of God. Then verse 24 says, now unto him who is able to keep you from falling, and to present you faultless before the presence of his glory, with exceeding joy, to the only wise God, our Savior, be glory and majesty, dominion and power, both now and ever. Amen. So keep yourselves in the love of God. You have a responsibility to stay close to the Lord. You have a responsibility continue faithfully with the Lord. On his side, he is doing many things, many, many things. And he is doing them like the people said about the Lord Jesus. He has done all things well. So we don't have to worry about him doing his part. We don't have to worry about him doing his part well. We need to worry about our responsibility to stand fast in the Lord. Let's think of the statement of Philippians chapter 4 and verse 1. And first of all, let's think of the idea that Paul looked upon these Philippian believers, and Paul had the firm idea in his mind, very clear, doesn't seem to have any doubt about it. Paul had it in mind firmly and clearly that they were in the right place. Stand fast in the Lord. They were in the right place. Sometimes you can give a person directions, and you can find out that either you weren't clear enough or they didn't understand clearly enough. Somewhere or other, the wires got crossed, and you end up being one place. They end up being another. And then you need to tell them, no, that's not the place. Yes, that's the place. No, that's not the place. And so on. And all sorts of things take place so that people will end up being in the right place together. Stand fast in the Lord. Paul the Apostle looked upon them as being in the Lord, as being individuals who had heard of the work of Christ upon the cross, had understood that this work was in payment for their sin, and that they needed to come to the Lord, confess that they were sinners, and ask for forgiveness based upon the work of Christ upon the cross. The Bible tells us that we need to build on the right foundation. We need to build on the right foundation. And the Bible tells us that no man can lay another foundation other than the foundation which has been laid, which is Jesus Christ. Now, when it says no man can lay another foundation, people try to lay other foundations. People try to build on other things. And the Lord Jesus himself said in Matthew chapter 7, the one who hears these sayings of mine and doeth them, I will liken him to a wise man who built his house upon a rock. And what happened? The rains descended, the floods came, the winds beat upon the house, and it did not fall. Because it was founded on what? On a rock, on a real foundation. But then he also said that there are people who build their house on what? On the sand. There are people who build their house on the sand. And the house came up, and it looked good for a while. But then the rains descended, and the floods came, and the winds beat upon that house, and that house fell, and great was the fall of it. 1 Corinthians chapter 15. Paul the Apostle speaks of the gospel, and notice how he speaks of it in verse 1. He says, moreover, brethren, I declare unto you the gospel which I preached unto you, which also ye have received, and in which you stand. In which you stand. What is that gospel? 1 Corinthians 15, verse 3 and verse 4. The Bible says, I delivered unto you, first of all, that which I also received. I didn't make any of this up. It's not a matter of creativity or originality. It's a matter of a message which God gave. I delivered unto you that which, first of all, I also received, how that Christ died for our sins according to the Scriptures, and that he was buried, and that he rose again the third day according to the Scriptures. This is the gospel in which you stand. So with regard to the Philippians, Paul the Apostle preached this message among them, and there were others who he sent to Philippi, and they came back, and from them he heard good news regarding the Philippians, so that he didn't have to worry, were they just pretending when I was there, and then it, you know, so the story changed completely. No, he had a clear idea that they were on the right foundation. Now, as I said just a few moments ago, people have wrong foundations. There are some people, for instance, who say that we can be saved by our works, that if we do enough things that are good, What are things that are good? Well, generally, as you think about things that are good, people tend to divide things that are good into things that are religious in nature and things that are non-religious in nature. Things that are good: to come to church, all right? To give money to church. Those are the religious things. Other things: to be kind to my neighbors and friends, to be truthful, and to be loving. It is through doing such things, and it is because I do such things, and because I do enough of these things, that I am saved. That's the wrong foundation. You can build on it a skyscraper, if you will. It's still the wrong foundation. The Bible tells us that in God's sight, our righteousnesses are as filthy rags. أعمال برنا كخرق بالي في عيون الرب. الكلام موجود بإشعياء 64. Again, this is not my own idea. Not my own notions or concepts. If we had the right perspective, rather than saying, "Lord, see my works," all right, as if this would give us God's favor. If we had the right perspective, we would say, "Lord, don't look upon my works. Let me hide them from you. Let me somehow put them in a place where God won't see them." But the problem is, when you think that way, is that there isn't a place that God doesn't see. And nothing can be hidden from Him, so that my guilt is readily apparent. Well, actually, there's one place I can hide, and that's under the blood of Jesus Christ. And that's one place, the one place where my sins and my sinfulness are covered. The Bible says in Isaiah 61 and verse 10, "I will greatly rejoice in the Lord. My spirit will be joyful in my God, because He has clothed me with the garments of salvation. He has covered me with the robe of righteousness." The Bible says in Revelation 1:5, Ru'ya 1:5, "And from Jesus Christ, who is the faithful witness, الشاهد الأمين, the first begotten of the dead, بكورة الراقدين, the prince of the kings of the earth, لهو رئيس ملوك الأرض, unto him that loved us and washed us from our sins in his own blood." So stand fast in the Lord, Philippian believers. This speaks of the fact that he was confident of their salvation, that they were in Christ, that they were believing in Christ, that they were trusting in Christ and not in anything else, not my works, not a religious institution, the intercession of one person or the other, apart from, of course, the Lord Jesus Christ, because the Bible tells us there's one God and one mediator between God and man, the man, Christ Jesus, إله واحد ووسيط واحد بين الله والناس, الإنسان, يسوع المسيح. Someone might say, "But I'm a Sunday school teacher." God bless you for being a Sunday school teacher, especially on this day when we remember teachers in a special way. But being a Sunday school teacher, being the quote-unquote best Sunday school teacher in the world, will not take me to heaven or anyone else. Coming to church will not in and of itself take anyone to heaven. Not me, not you, not anyone else. Not now, not in the future, and hasn't happened in the past. And it hasn't happened in the past. Being active in church, being active in charitable things, in kind things, this in and of itself will not save, not you, not me, not anyone else, not in the future, not in the past. Not in the past. Have you been to the cross where the Lord Jesus suffered, the hymn writer says, have you been to Calvary? Have you been to the place of redemption for sinners? Have you been to Calvary? The finished work, that's the phrase that we like to use, of Christ upon the cross. So that it's important, because people come along and say, yes, he died for us, but also let me add my works. No, let me not also add my works. What's wrong if I add my works? What's wrong if I add my works is along the lines of, how about we put gas in the car of the tank, but what's wrong if I come and add orange juice? All right? There's gas there. It doesn't work. All right? It doesn't work. It runs on gas. That's what it runs on. All right? What's wrong if I add this or that? We are taking away from the truth of what is happening. That's why at the very end of the Bible, what does the book of Revelation say? It says, don't add and don't take away. And it's mentioned, of course, in other places in the Bible as well. The Philippian believers were in the Lord in the sense of trusting in him for salvation. We need to think of another way as well in which we could say that they were in the Lord. Stand fast in the Lord. The Bible speaks of the believer and of the need of the believer to abide in Christ and yet but fil Masih. We are not talking here at all about any possibility that salvation is lost and then a person has to be saved again, and then who knows, he could be lost again and saved again, and who knows how many times he could be saved and lost and saved and lost and so on. We are not talking about that. We are not talking about that. Once I am born, I am a member of a family. But I can be a good, obedient child. Or I can be a bad, disobedient child. When I'm a bad, disobedient child, I am still a child. And ultimately, the thing that makes me a child is God's love. My parents' love makes me a child. But it's better to be a good, obedient child than to be a bad, disobedient child. In the Lord, in another sense, standing with the Lord in their daily lives, walking in his will and his way, abiding in him. This is the phrase that the Lord Jesus used in John chapter 15. The branch will not bear fruit of itself. It must abide in the vine. The one who abides in me brings forth much fruit, following his commandments, doing his will. If you love me, keep my commandments. He that has my commandments and keepeth them, he it is who loves me. Trying to walk in a way that is separate from all that is wrong, all that is sinful in this world. And there is so much of it. Trying to do that which pleases the Lord, as opposed to pleasing the world, pleasing the flesh, pleasing men in one form or the other. Trying to have the Spirit of Christ. Look at the beginning of chapter 2. Let nothing be done. This is verse 3 of chapter 2. Let nothing be done through strife or vainglory, but in lowliness of mind let each esteem others better than themselves. Look not every man on his own things, but every man also on the things of others. Let this mind be in you, which was also in Christ Jesus. Do we have a real union with Christ? His mind in us. Some time ago there was someone who liked to describe that union with a set of adjectives, I believe, that started with L. A living, loving, lasting union with Christ. Living, loving, and lasting. Who shall separate us from the love of Christ? External things cannot do so. I am crucified with Christ, nevertheless I live, yet not I, but Christ lives in me, and the life which I now live in the flesh, I live by the faith of the Son of God, who loved me and gave himself for me. Stand fast in the Lord. Keep walking in the Lord. Stay in his will, in his thinking. Stay in his spirit. What did Paul say? He said, in him we live and move and have our being. Now this is speaking of God in terms of what? In terms of his creation and in terms of us being part of his creation. But think of the believer as being not just part of the creation, but part of a new creation. If any man be in Christ, he is a new creature, he is a new creation. إن كان أحد في المسيح فهو خليقة جديدة. To be always in the Spirit of Christ, to be always walking as the Lord Jesus would walk, to be always thinking, what would the Lord Jesus do if he were in my situation? Is the Lord Jesus like some distant friend that we have contact with once in a while? A friend who once was close to us, next door neighbor, we saw him daily at a certain point in our lives, and then somehow we traveled to another country. And so we now send him a postcard once in a while. Now he continues to write us letters. He continues to be in touch with us. But we don't always respond, and we say to ourselves, oh, those good old days when we were good friends and close, and now, I mean, they're still doing their part, and oh, I need to do better. But it's not really working out on my end. The believers in Philippi, we seem to understand from the letter itself that they were walking faithfully with the Lord Jesus Christ. And therefore, as far as Paul the Apostle was concerned, they were a source of what? A gladness. I thank my God on every remembrance of you. Why? Because the Lord had brought them together in the faith. And they were therefore what? Brethren and dearly beloved. He says dearly beloved in chapter 4 and verse 1. He says it twice. Therefore, my brethren, dearly beloved, and longed for, my joy and crown, so stand fast in the Lord, my dearly beloved. Now, think of the fact that he was someone who was born in Tarsus, and who grew up in Jerusalem. And here are these believers who are where? In Philippi, that is northern Greece, the area known as Macedonia. I believe it's still known even this day as Macedonia. Very far away. Very far away. Let's say, consider a similar distance. Not very different. Consider some country, let's say, in Eastern Europe. Consider Bulgaria or Romania or Hungary, all right? Would you consider it very natural and unsurprising? Oh, yes, these people from Bulgaria, from Romania, from Hungary, they're my brothers. I hardly know where these countries are. Maybe I could remember the capital cities or something like that. Or if you go in another direction. You go the same kind of distance. You would be getting to where? Places like maybe Iran or Pakistan or so on. Or you go in the direction of Africa. You would be getting to places like Ethiopia. And so these are the same distances roughly as from where? As from this area to Macedonia. Not very different. And in our day and time, these places are not so close. How much so in those times as well. Think of the fact that he was from a Jewish background, and think of the fact that they were Gentiles, Philippi was one of the places where there wasn't a synagogue. Now, I say there wasn't a synagogue, that's a conclusion, it's true. It doesn't say in the Bible there wasn't a synagogue, all right? But the truth is that where there was a synagogue, because there was a substantial presence of the people of the Old Testament, the Jewish people, Paul frequently went to the synagogue and preached. And the Bible doesn't say in Philippi, and it gives us some detail, Acts chapter 16, most of the chapter, and it's a long chapter, doesn't mention anything about synagogue. So it's not a matter of, you know, these are people who somehow or the other, they are my cousins or my second cousins or my third cousins or something like that. And yet, they are what? They are dearly beloved. Dearly beloved. In Revelation chapter 5 and verse 9, it says that they sang a new song saying, "You are worthy to take the book, to open the seals thereof, and تأخذ الكتاب وأن تفتح ختومه, because you were slain, لأنك ذبحت وفديتنا لله, because you were slain and have redeemed us unto God by your blood out of every kindred, every tongue, every people, and every nation." Out of every different background, out of every different background. Maybe we take it for granted that we have brothers and sisters. I'll tell you an interesting little thing in our family. I take it for granted, brothers and sisters, I have a brother and I have two sisters. But frequently I've heard my mother say, "I've never had a sister." Sometimes she used to say about Auntie Agnes that she was like a sister to her, although of course she was her cousin and actually quite a bit older than my mother was. But my mother has said it many times in my presence, "I've never had a sister." And sometimes you say to yourself, "Oh yeah, I have sisters." And then when you speak to someone who's never had a sister, you gain some perspective. Sometimes by talking to someone like that, you appreciate what you have. People say you don't appreciate things until you lose them. You don't appreciate your health until you use it. Maybe what will happen is that the Lord will sometime allow us, it happens, to be one place or the other in this wide, wide world where we don't have the opportunity to go to a church and where we don't have opportunity to have face-to-face and personal contact with other believers. And maybe at that time we'll say to ourselves, "You know, I had a blessing, and it's true that I would talk about it as a blessing, but now I appreciate it. I appreciate it more." My brethren, dearly beloved, a new commandment I give unto you, that ye love one another as I have loved you, that ye also love one another. By this shall all men know that you are my disciples, if you have love one for another. My brethren, dearly beloved and longed for. Well, what do I long for? Oh, I can long for all sorts of things. I can long for material things. I can long for a position and respect in this world and people's applause. I can long for, oh, who knows what, the list is long. I could long to have a particular house or a particular situation. Many things could be mentioned. The believers were longed for. The believers of Philippi were longed for as far as Paul the Apostle was concerned. My joy and my crown. We say it sometimes to each other once in a while. Ahlan wa sahlan, you say to someone, and then in order to express your affection for him, you say, "Inta shu tej rasi." You are the crown. The crown upon my head. Well, here he actually says it, and by inspiration, "You are my joy, and you are my crown." Believers in the Lord, believers walking in the Lord, brethren who are loved and longed for, these are the people to whom he was speaking. And what did he want them to do? He wanted them to stay there, to continue, not to slow down, not to cool off, not to in any way decrease in terms of their love for the Lord. Stand fast in the Lord. There is so much that needs to be done. The Bible tells us that being saved is like being born again. A child is born. Great, the child is born. All sorts of difficult things can happen when a child is born. And so when a child is born and things are all right and everything is healthy and okay, you say to people, Mabruk, mother is fine and child is fine and so on. But the child is supposed to grow. There is so much that should happen. Following the Lord is a lifelong journey, a lifelong occupation. There is seed that fell on the ground that had lots of thorns. And as this seed came up, or shall we say, tried to come up, the thorns choked it so that it could not grow as it should have grown. There is seed that fell upon stony ground and sprouted up very quickly. الأرض اللي فيها شو طبقة رفيعة من التراب وتحت حجار. It did not grow as it should have grown. Something sprouted up quickly, but there was no root. All of these things that are mentioned by the Lord Jesus in the parable of the sower and the seed, all of these things are things that we want to stay away from. We want to keep on going on in the right way. In the right way. They that wait upon the Lord shall renew their strength. منتظروا رب يجددون يجددون قوتهم. Stand firm in terms of having the right teaching. There are people somehow who hear the truth and then afterwards one or two wrong teachings enter in, and although they're still, shall we say, mostly biblical, but then you start telling them, where did you hear this? And where did you hear that? We need to make sure that we are continuing in that which is right. Paul spoke in chapter 1 of Philippians of the defense and confirmation of the gospel, الدفاع عن الإنجيل. And he said that I thank the Lord because in the defense and confirmation of the gospel, you are my partners. أنتم شركائي في الدفاع عن الإنجيل. So there is a holding on to the right doctrine and a willing to defend it in the face of wrong teachings, and people come up with ideas and the devil comes up with ideas as well. What does it say in the letter of Jude? Jude said, I thought of writing unto you of the common salvation. People think that he may have been considering writing a gospel. And then he says, I thought it needful to write unto you, that you should earnestly contend for the faith, which was once and for all delivered unto the saints. And then he says that certain men have crept in unawares and have brought in teaching that is wrong. Stand firm in the right teaching. Stand firm in doing what is right. So that we are not like the Pharisees, of whom it was said, see, hear their words, but do not do their deeds. This is not the way that God's children should be. The Bible says that our God who called us is holy, and we need to be holy in every manner of life. Be ye holy, for I am holy. This is what the Bible teaches. The Bible says that these are they who follow the Lamb wherever he goes. هَؤُلَاءْ هُمْ الَّذِينَ يَتْبَعُونَ الْخَرُوفَ حَيْثُمَا يَذْهَبْ. And the paths of the Lord Jesus are paths of holiness. If we're following him, then we will be walking in holiness. Stand fast in faith. believe very firmly and very powerfully that what God has promised, that what God has said will surely come to pass. The Bible tells us of Abraham. Abraham believed God. He went out not going whither. Abraham believed God through many years of not having a child. He believed in God's promise that in your seed shall all the nations of the earth be blessed. He staggered not through unbelief, but was strong in faith, giving glory to God. Hebrews chapter 11 says, they all, Abraham, Isaac, Jacob, Sarah, they all died in faith. In other words, they lived their lives according to faith to the very end. And this faith did not weaken. They did not receive the promises, not receive the fulfillment of the promises. Hebrews 11:13. But they saw the promises from afar, and they were persuaded of them, and they embraced them, and they confessed that they were strangers and pilgrims upon the earth. Having confidence in this very thing, that he who has begun a good work in you will continue it until the day of Jesus Christ. Confidence in God, faith in God, trust in God, not in myself, not in others, not in anything else. Stand fast as you face trials, as you face difficulties, as you face opposition in various ways. Go back to chapter 1 and verse 29. Unto you it is given for the on the behalf of Christ, not only to believe on his name, but also to suffer for his sake. Trials and difficulties, if we're not careful, we can be discouraged. And it's easy to look at the Bible and see times that Moses was discouraged, times that David was discouraged. Times, Abraham, I mentioned him, also was discouraged. Here is Paul the Apostle. He is in prison. What is he doing in prison? He's teaching as much as he can. Acts chapter 28 tells us of that. He is writing to believers in Philippi and in Ephesus, and writing to Philemon as well, and the believers in Colossae, the letter to the Colossians. What is he doing in prison? He is serving the Lord. He is serving the Lord. Stand fast in the teaching that is right. Stand fast in following the Lord. Stand fast in your faith. Have patience. Have a long breath. I, John, your companion, John the Apostle says in Revelation chapter 1, I am your companion in the kingdom and the patience of the Lord Jesus Christ. بملكوت المسيح وصبره. I was in the island which is called Patmos. He was exiled to that island. منفي إلى جزيرة Patmos. I was in the island which is called Patmos for the word of God and for the testimony of Jesus Christ. من أجل كلمة الله وشهادة يسوع المسيح. And he didn't quit. And he was not discouraged. And he kept on going. Stand fast in the Lord, because this is your citizenship. Our citizenship is in heaven. In those days, people were somewhat proud of the city that they were associated with. Greek people were proud of their cities. Paul the Apostle at one point said, I am a Jew of Tarsus, no mean city. مدينة طرسوس منا مدينة قليلة كانت مدينة معروفة ببعض الأمور, a city that was known for a number of things, including, I think, a very notable university in those times. I'm a city of Tarsus. I'm a citizen of Tarsus. You're a citizen of heaven. You are a citizen of heaven. Stand fast because your Savior is coming soon. Soon the toils of life will be over. The captain of our salvation will appear. He is coming to reward his children. He will come and he will change our body. End of chapter 3. To be fashioned like unto his glorious body. We need to stand fast, because that power of his resurrection is a power that we should know in our lives day by day, all the time. When will he return? We don't know when. But the Bible tells us that he comes when at such a time as men think not, like a thief in the night, and that when he comes, he will come in the twinkling of an eye. In the twinkling of an eye. People try to alter things in their bodies, have an operation, right? The greatest change in our bodies from our natural body to our new body, all right, will take place in an instant. No long procedures are required, all right? In a moment, in the twinkling of an eye. Because of all these things, my dearly beloved, my longed for, my joy, and my crown, because of all these things, stand fast in the Lord. Eodia and Syntyche don't disagree with each other. Others try to help them out. And remember that your names are written in the book of life. Let's pray. Our Heavenly Father, we thank you for these believers among whom Paul labored and among whom you gave him fruit. We thank you for their testimony. We thank you for their love. We thank you for their faithfulness. We pray, Lord, that you would help us so that we may hear this word that was directed to them also, that we should stand fast in the Lord. We thank you for the truth which you have revealed unto us. We thank you because you have brought us into a relationship with your Son. We pray, Lord, that that relationship would be strong. We know that the responsibility is ours because on your part, all is done well. We pray that you would help us to abide in you. We pray that you'd help us to abide in your word, abide in your truth, to be strong in faith and in your promises, to stand fast in the Lord. Help us to remember that you are coming. Help us to remember that you are the one who has all power. Help us to remember that you will reward your children for every good thing which they have done. Dearly beloved, longed for, my joy and my crown, stand fast in the Lord. In Jesus' name I pray. Amen.